that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape, well, you better hit the
Gymwits. Gymwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Gymwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gymwits. So today's an edition of the Cheat Meal.
Yep.
So the Cheat Meal is our opportunity to talk about stuff that's not fitness related, but that we think might make for a good podcast. I think this will be the first one to go up, even though this is not the first Cheat Meal that we've recorded. Now, ironically, even though it's stuff that's not fitness related, we are going to talk about MMA. So it's somewhat fitness related. We've had a couple episodes where we've discussed things related to MMA, but we feel like since we're doing these cheat meal episodes, it'd be best served for the cheat meal because not everybody that listens to the podcast is going to be into MMA. So it would be something that, you know, you can take it or leave it, but we'll do a little bit of UFC 200 discussion. So you want to take it away? What went on over the last couple of weeks in MMA?
Well, by far the biggest is the acquisition of the UFC. By WME IMG, which is the big representation firm for the a lot of Hollywood A-listers. And it's crazy. How much was the UFC purchased for by Dana and the Fertittas when they bought it from SCG?
I forget, but it was like a few million dollars. Yeah, something like that.
And it was purchased for $4 billion.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's a crazy profit. And on top of that, Dana is still the president.
Yeah, so he
still has a percentage. The Fertittas have a small minority ownership in it. And there's also some investment companies like Silver Lake that are sort of in on it as well.
So do you think this is a good thing for the sport, a bad thing for the sport? Like, what are your thoughts initially?
Well, it's interesting because they rep Ronda Rousey, so in a way, that's a conflict of interest.
Oh, well, Ronda Rousey has been a conflict of interest anyway. I mean, Dana's been pushing her more than any. I mean, with her and, let's say, Conor McGregor, they've been pushed so far by the UFC that it's essentially the same thing. It might as well be. I think they even sponsor some of the fighters. So,
yeah,
I don't know how much.
That's one thing, and secondly, they're saying this is worth $4 billion.
Yeah.
When do the fighters start saying, well, $4 billion? I'm getting paid $30,000 a fight?
Yeah.
$40,000 a fight? What's my worth in all of this?
Yeah.
Right? And they're going to start looking at, if they haven't already, they're going to start looking at, Major League Baseball and basketball and saying, oh, look at these sports where people are getting paid millions and millions of dollars, and there's a union, and they're set for life, many of them.
Yeah.
And I'm getting punched in the face and getting paid pennies compared to what these guys are getting paid. Where's my piece of the pie?
Yeah.
So I think with this in the short term, not too much is going to change. You know, Dana's still the president.
Yeah.
They don't want it to change too much. They want it to seem the same, although I'm sure much of the business stuff is going to slowly change as they start bringing in more of their own people to work on it. But I think that's the big thing that's going to happen. The fighters are going to start saying, this is a really profitable company. What's my worth?
Yeah.
I should be getting paid more than
Why haven't they done that in the past, though? In a serious way. Why hasn't that happened?
I think...
Yeah.
It's just sort of the stranglehold that Dana and the UFC has had over the industry.
Yeah,
you could go fight in Bellator. There's a few more organizations here or there, but the UFC is the major leagues. Like,
so, but what changes that now?
If you get on their bad side and you get blacklisted, that's it.
Yeah,
a few precious years of your career that you have, you don't have all year to fight, you know, all your life to fight this, to make a stand. You have
but
only a few years.
The question
that you can
fight.
Is, why on their bad side, you're not going to be in the UFC. So there are people are scared to really push for this. And you see what's happened to people like John Fitch and others that have sort of gone against the whole, you know, structure of the UFC, saying, I feel like I'm worth more. You can't just use my likeness and things. You know, I should be worth more.
But that's my question, is what makes that different now?
Because now they can see the real worth of the company. They knew it was making a lot, but now $4 billion, and now you have a big Hollywood firm. Like, it's become a huge business now.
Yeah.
They know that there's billions of dollars that are going around,
yeah,
and people are getting extremely wealthy off of it. And the fighter's like, wait a minute, I'm the product. I'm the one who's making you guys wealthy. Why aren't I wealthy?
Yeah, that makes sense. I can understand that. But I guess I'm just wondering how that gets started. Like, you know, if people are going to be willing to go against it. Because the other questions I have is, like, how long do you think Dana White will still be involved? Or will it be a situation where he's kind of the figurehead, they need him to stay on
and
board now,
they phase him out.
But he gets phased out, or he just phases himself out?
Like, well, maybe he's already very wealthy. He's doing it now just because I think,
and he had a close relationship with the Fertittas. So the question is, does he just kind of call it quits at some point? And do they need him?
I don't think they need him. I think that Dana has done some really great things for the UFC. Like, he just sort of he understands how the business works, and he got it there. Like, Dana is responsible to a huge degree for why the UFC is so popular.
Yeah.
So he obviously knows what's going on. He knows which direction to take things. And him sort of, you know, hit the sort of hand of God of Dana White making the UFC run has been a positive so far. So getting rid of him, man, do they need him? Not necessarily, but who knows where things will go without
him. Do they have someone
him.
Who can run the sport as, or run, I guess, the UFC as effectively as he has. I mean, and he's done things that it's kind of a net positive because he's definitely done things that have been.
Oh yeah, a lot of fighters are not happy.
Yeah,
with
people aren't thrilled with him, but I think he's done obviously more positive for the sport, and he's been necessary. I don't know that anybody could have done what he. What
maybe if Vince McMahon was the.
he did not buy it. So
yeah.
But I guess the other thing I don't know the politics behind it, but from what I've read, apparently this does open up some doors overseas that maybe were not available. So now, I guess, does the sport become a bigger sport globally?
I think it does. I think that of all sports, it has the most potential to be a global sport. I don't know how much more popular it's going to get in the U.S.
Yeah.
It may have maxed out in the U.S.
I don't know. I think they had their best year either last year
maybe,
or this year.
Right, maybe they'll grow increments slowly in the U.S.
Yeah,
I think it will. It probably will. If you have megastars, like Brock coming back, Ronda, Conor McGregor, fighters like that. But I think globally, a lot of other countries don't have sports. They don't have four mainstream sports and then 50 other sports that you can participate in. It's really crazy if you think about how many sports go on. You have the four major ones, but Major League Soccer is also popular.
Yeah.
X Games are very popular. Racing is popular, although racing is popular all over the world. Mm-hmm. In most countries, you have soccer or football being popular, and then you have like one other sport. Maybe basketball is popular in a lot of countries because it's so you need so few things. You need a basket and a ball, basically. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing: in much of the world, in almost in every country, combat sports are popular.
Yeah,
right. That's sort of one thing. Most countries, wrestling is very popular. Kickboxing. Boxing, judo, stuff like that are very popular all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's not, you don't need a lot of money. You don't need tons of equipment and huge teams and facilities to train fighters. Although it's nice when you have it. So that's why MMA is of a tremendous appeal all over the world because all you need is two fighters getting in a cage and that's it. So I think it has, I think they're thinking that too. It's like, look at the Asian market. Untapped.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're looking at China and saying, how popular can we make it in China? You know, those are potentially billions of fans. In South America, in parts of the Middle East, like how, more so, let's go more to Russia. Let's go. How many fans do they have all over the world potentially?
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so let's get to UFC 200. Do you have anything else? I mean, I think I'm just so ignorant of the deal that I don't know. There's not much to say because I don't know. And I think for a lot of us, it's just kind of like wait and see at this point what happens.
One thing, I think it takes one or two fighters to make a stand that are so popular that it would damage the UFC. Someone like Conor McGregor, who the UFC has so much stake in.
Well, he tried to, and they called his bluff.
They did call his bluff. So I know the UFC is a little stronger, but once you have a few fighters that get really big, depending on the situation, But for what it's worth, Connor, even though they did call his bluff, the fact that Connor got paid a lot more is once it goes there, it opens the availability for other fighters. It's like what happens in other sports
too. Another interesting thing to consider is you're dealing with a company that their job is to represent talent. And now, so now they're the, so it's an interesting, yeah, it isn't, you're right. It's like, well, not necessarily a conflict of interest so much as, you know, that you've got people who work on managing, their job is to manage talent, to get the best,
to get the
best deal for your talent. Now they shift over to being a promoter. So it'll be interesting to see how they deal with the talent. Do they go over the top in trying to make sure that the talent is happy and they're well compensated? Or do they kind of become as cutthroat as they are for their own talent? Do they become equally as cutthroat now that they're the promoter? Hmm. You know, it'd be interesting to see how they, what route or what avenue they take with their fighters.
That this sort of utopian MMA society exists where they compensate the fighters really, really well, and they also get tons of money.
Yeah.
But you know, it just never works that way, because $1 that goes one way can always go another way.
Yeah.
And just the way capitalism is, like, you want to make as much as possible. So if you pay a fighter $3 million instead of $1 million, that's $2 million that's going to you, even though it might make the fighters happier, make them better, bring better talent, better athletes, saying, oh, wow, there's an $8 million payday for a fight. No, I'm not going to go play football. I'm going to go do MMA.
Well, yeah.
Like that allure.
That's a long-term thing.
That's a long-term thing. But are they thinking of those, you know, are they thinking of those things?
Yeah, fair. Possible. I guess we'll see.
So,
all right, so UFC 200.
It's funny. I actually thought the biggest fight was actually before UFC 200, and I thought it was
okay. We could go to
Eddie Alvarez and RDA, and also JJ Joanna. She's just amazing. Although I expected her to win that fight, but just wow, we have a new lightweight champion. Congratulations to Eddie Alvarez. Amazing performance. Like really remarkable.
Yeah, it's like a revolving door of champions at this point.
It's a murderer's row.
I guess
that's crazy. Has there ever been a division where you look at the top 12 and anyone could win, and anyone is just ridiculous?
So that's the question: can anybody kind of maintain some stability in that division, or is the title just going to keep changing hands?
I don't know.
Because it's a tough. Yeah, it's tough. I mean,
if anyone can sort of take the throne, it's like Game of Thrones in the lightweight division.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. It is.
If anyone could grab it and hold on to it, and really just and clean house, they would be. You have to really put them. Although it would take a couple of years to do that.
Yeah.
You would have to put them at one of the great all-time greats.
Yeah. And is there anyone that can do that?
You think maybe Nurmagomedov could.
Yeah,
because he hasn't lost yet, right? Yeah. Or did he lose? What
is
he?
I don't think he's undefeated. Nothing.
We could look it up.
Google search would do, but he's a monster, and he hasn't fought for the title. So he's the one guy who hasn't had the opportunity. I mean, due to injuries, but he's the one guy who could potentially. I guess if there's anybody that can take over the division, and dominate it, it's him. But let's say he goes out and fights.
But you feel like anyone could lose. It's just like, and remember, styles make fights.
Yeah, that's true.
So he might come in and just, you know, kick ass for a little bit.
Yeah. But who has the, hold on, scroll down a little bit.
We're just, scroll down. We're looking to see.
All right, he is undefeated. You were right. Yeah, 23-0. All right, so he is undefeated, and he's potentially the guy to take the throne, I guess, in that division. But yeah, that's it. Otherwise, I don't think. I mean,
I think that, believe it or not, the worst stylistic matchup for him is actually Eddie Alvarez, because Eddie's a good wrestler.
Yeah,
he's clever. He's got great cardio.
Yeah,
and have we seen Khabib's cardio? I know that he basically beat up on RDA.
Yeah.
For a while, but remember, cardio is not about how long you can go when you're kicking someone's ass.
Yeah.
It's about how long you can go and how well you can fight when you're in a war.
Yeah, exactly.
So we haven't seen him really in a war and how his cardio holds up.
Yeah.
So that's that's going to be an interesting thing. And against someone really crafty like Eddie Alvarez, who's tough as nails, he is the Rocky of the UFC.
Yeah.
He has that sort of story. He's from Philadelphia, I think. And so it's just really interesting. Really, congratulations to Eddie Alvarez. But I think that's a fascinating fight, just for styles make matchups.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good enough, Eddie Alvarez is a good wrestler, certainly not of Khabib's pedigree.
Yeah.
But
he's good enough.
To maybe avoid things.
Yeah.
And to stick on. I don't think Khabib's a great striker. He's powerful, but yeah. He's not technically great. Although, who knows how good he can get in the next.
Yeah.
He's such a good athlete that. You know, that he can step up, not tremendously, but a decent amount.
I think you're right, because outside of Alvarez, the great strikers in the division, I don't think their wrestling is up to par to hang with Khabib, or their defensive wrestling is up to par.
Yep.
So if you look at, like, the, you know, Pettis's and who else? What were the other really good high-level strikers in the division? Who just beat Pettis, Brazilian.
Oh,
great,
yeah,
Muay Thai.
Edson Barbosa.
Yes, Edson Barbosa. Yeah, so you have a couple.
I'm not in love with Barbosa. I think he's a good striker.
He's a great technical striker, but I don't think.
He lacks some sort of killer instinct and stuff like that. Although he's had some great knockouts, yeah. I don't see him winning against some of the war fighters.
Yeah,
that are in there.
Yeah.
Ferguson is an interesting guy.
Yeah,
like he's exciting to watch. Yeah. And he's kind of good at everything, and he takes risks and he takes chances. So that would be a really cool match. And it was supposed to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, missed out on it.
I'd rather see him fight Alvarez, I think, against Khabib. It'll be tough for him.
Oh, to win, yeah. But I think it would be very entertaining.
It might be entertaining, yeah, absolutely. All right, so now the heavyweight division is interesting now. Kane's back in it, which I think we expected.
He just
did you expect
about that concept to have there's a guy who's 6'7", a 6'7" monster that can like knock out Josh Barnett with like just elbows without just like that.
Yeah.
And you just go in and just tool him.
Destroy him, yeah.
Like this just goes how much of a monster Kane really
is. Yeah.
So like, you forget how much of a monster. He's a monster of a human being.
Yeah. He is literally a monster of a human being. Like just I had the opportunity to be around him once.
He's not that big.
He's not huge, but he's just thick. Looks like just someone just painted like slabs of muscle. Like he's not ripped. He's not like Overeem or when Overeem was in, you know, his peak, like Overeem form.
Overoids.
Yeah, overoids or Uberim. Yeah. But he's just thick. It's just like just a thick human, like scary.
Yeah.
He just walked through him like it was nothing. It was like, you know,
to walk through him or you know, Brock when he beat up Brock pretty good too. So
So now does he win a rematch or does he? I mean, whoever has the title, does he beat them?
On any day, yes, he could.
Yeah,
doesn't mean he will, but on any day he could. I really thought that the fight against Verdum was not his best.
Okay.
He was he gassed. He was unprepared. Verdum. He also caught Verdum at Verdum's best.
Yeah.
Verdum was just hot and
so just wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Kind of,
and that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So
Verdum is also a bad stylistic matchup for Kane because Kane can't just take him down and dominate him.
Yeah.
And so Kane is forced to stand and strike with him. And Kane's a good striker, but the Verdum striking style sort of goes against Kane's is that he's just not scared. Like Verdum was like, all right, take me down.
Yeah.
And when you get away the threat of the takedown, some of Kane's strength gets taken away from him. Because he's a very powerful striker. He's a good striker. He's not a ridiculous striker. You think he is a ridiculous striker?
I don't want to say
he's very powerful. He's a really
powerful.
Technical.
He's very technical. He's got great cardio. He's a good volume fighter. I think that
he's not like a JDS level striker, although he beat up JDS.
The hell out of JDS.
But remember, that's because of the full
arsenal. I think he's not flashy.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't do anything. You know, he's not going to be a flashy striker.
Well, he also got outstruck by Verdum.
But he's pure. But the question is,
Take away the threat of his takedown.
You have all those other variables. I think also the cardio. I think that was the biggest thing. I think he's a machine cardio wise, and
that's his biggest weapon. Yeah,
because he's so technical that I'd argue that he's better than JDS. He just doesn't do anything fancy. He's just technically very solid and sound. And I think he looked good this fight. It's just the other question is like, is he healthy? You know, that's the other thing. It's like, when is he going to, be healthy or not?
He could beat anyone on any given day. So that goes without saying. He can definitely beat anyone. Ugarim, he's had some pretty, he's looked sort of in a weird way, the best he's ever looked.
Yeah. What do they call the UG? They call him the Econorim now.
So it's kind of what he is. He's
fighting smart. Yeah, exactly. Now, can he beat Stipe Miocic?
Of course. You think? Anyone, of course. He can knock out anyone, but he could get knocked out
too. He can get knocked out too. That's the problem.
That's the whole thing with the heavyweights. Anyone could beat anyone on any given day.
Yeah.
So it's that's what makes the division sort of fascinating.
Yeah.
It's like you can get a crazy knockout. You can get or you can watch paint dry.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess.
Although Stipe's good and, Kane's good, Ubarim's good. So, well, those guys are. Is that the next fight?
That's his heavyweight fight. Yeah, Stipe and Overeem. That's great. Like, I want to see Overeem fight. I always wanted to see him fight for the title.
You've always wanted to see him fight. If he wins, he's not going to hold the title.
I don't think
so.
I think he's going to have a hard time with Kane, definitely. Yeah. And even Weirdoom gave him a hard time when they fought. Was it in Strikeforce when they fought it was Strikeforce when they fought last, and he it was a tough fight there
smart Ubarim could do well. His biggest weakness was his cardio sure and his sort of fight IQ just like over in terms of expending too much.
Yeah. Well, so now back to the 200. What did you think of the Brock Lesnar fight? Did you expect that?
Yeah,
you
I did.
Okay.
I thought about 75% chance that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I know everyone was thinking that, a lot of people were thinking that Hunt was going to win. I'm like, why would you think that? Brock's a specimen. He's a very good wrestler. And since when has Mark Hunt's takedown defense been that good? I know that you think he would have good takedown defense because he's short and really stocky and powerful, but Brock's a ridiculous level wrestler. Yeah. He's a very good wrestler, and he's incredibly strong.
Yeah.
So we all thought that. I think Brock couldn't hit, but
Brock taking a hit, his not having fought in a long time. Yeah, years.
I thought it was the perfect style matchup for Brock to win. A guy that sort of is slow, like Mark Hunt doesn't come at you crazy. He's sort of slow, a little bit of a counter fighter. It was the perfect guy for Brock to beat.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure because I could definitely see your point. I thought that Brock's incredible athlete, but with the layoff, and with Hunt being very active, and showing improved takedown defense and
older. Let's power. Hunt's still, I mean, Brock's not super young either, but Hunt's now in his early 40s. So athletically, not that he was ever an incredible athlete, but he's a good athlete. Yeah. I just thought that stylistically. That it was, Hunt had a puncher's chance.
Yeah.
But that was
the only chance you gave him.
Yeah, how else was he going to win that fight? Unless Brock just couldn't take him down and he sort of beat up Brock on the feet and Brock kind of ran away and didn't really engage very much. One thing, I thought Brock was very smart.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because he won the first round.
Yeah.
And then the second round, this was actually what won him the fight. Because he didn't really go for the takedown.
Mm-hmm.
He sort of just dodged and sort of grappled a little bit, held him, survived the second round so that he could preserve his energy for the third round for a big takedown so that you could finish the fight. Because remember, you don't want to expend your energy in round two if you can't finish Hunt. Because maybe he said, look, I'm going to have trouble finishing Hunt. And if I expend all my energy now, then I'll have a third round where I'm gassed and he can knock me out. So instead, save your energy in the second round, take him down in the third round, and then make sure that he never gets up.
Yeah.
And, right?
Good
so
strategy.
I thought it was a very good
sense.
Strategy for Brock, and he executed it perfect.
I guess this is just a little risky as far as taking that one shot that puts you out against someone as dangerous
times.
As Hunt.
He
I know, he took him.
I don't know how
flush
it was, but he got hit a few times.
Yeah. So it took more than he's shown in the past as far as standing with somebody who can hit hard. But all right, so then what other fights were there?
In general, what do you think of the card as
well?
Well,
actually, before we get to that, one other thing, where does Brock go from here? Do you think he fights again? Was this a one-time deal?
I think that he will fight again. I think that I don't know if you can give him Kane or Overeem with some of those guys. I guess you could. Mm. I guess he can beat them, but I think that
I don't think he can beat Kane.
Yeah, I don't think he... No, he can't beat Kane.
Can't beat Kane.
I don't even think he can beat Overeem.
Probably not.
Especially in a five-round match.
Yeah.
But I think that he'll do these sort of pride type matches where you can put him up against
JDS, maybe.
Maybe. I don't think he want. I don't think he would want to take that fight.
Probably not.
Right. Like it's. I mean, it's the only way he wins is by winning a war.
Because maybe he can fight Brown, Travis Brown, like that caliber, Roy Nelson.
Yeah. Nelson, like that's a fight that he.
Rothwell,
like some of those guys. He's not going to want to fight. I don't even know if he'll want to fight Brown, but yeah, he could fight Brown. I think that he'll want to fight guys that he doesn't want, that he's not going to get beat up too badly. Like JDS, even if he wins a fight, it's going to be a brutal, brutal fight for him.
Yeah.
And he's just not going to want to, he's just not going to want to do that.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm wrong though. Maybe he will want to get in there. Although, like, think about it. He's a really rich guy.
Maybe he didn't have to take this fight.
Yeah, but once again, the fight, I think, went in his favor. If he gets knocked out, he gets knocked out. But there's a big, you know, you get knocked out, all right, right? It's not terrible once or twice. But against, you know, JDS or something, you're going to be taking a beating.
Yeah.
Right? You're not just going to get a flash KO'd. You're going to take a beating for four rounds and then maybe get KO'd on top of that. So.
Fair enough.
So I think that the matchup worked really well.
Yeah. So we'll do the overall thing, but let's get to the, so two more fights to talk about before we get into like what our overall thoughts. Because I want to think also what you how you compare
that Jose Aldo was. Just
three fights. Wow,
just tremendous.
Does that show that the Conor McGregor fight was a bit more of a fluke?
It wasn't a fluke. Anyone can get knocked out. Yeah. Conor McGregor was great during it, but I think what it shows is that fine. Yeah, he won. He knocked Aldo out. Maybe he's got Aldo's number. Maybe he doesn't. But that still, Aldo is one of the great all times.
Yeah.
So I think that anyone could get knocked out, and it doesn't have to be a fluke. But Aldo was just tremendous. And Frankie was good too.
Well, I guess maybe not fluke, wrong word, but did we really learn? We really didn't learn anything from that fight because, I mean, Aldo still has it. He's still got his defense is spectacular.
Yeah, he lost.
He's still a tremendous fighter. So then.
But he got beat by a huge lightweight.
Yeah.
Featherweight.
Huge
featherweight. Could be that fights at welterweight.
Yeah.
And that has good timing and hits hard, like whatever. So he got hit. It doesn't prove anything about Aldo having lost it.
Yeah,
Aldo's still tremendous. He's still one of the all-time greats, and he beat one of the great. He beat one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
So,
no, it was a great fight. Now, what beautiful. Happened? What's next for him with McGregor being tied up with the Diaz rematch? Who does he fight?
There's some other guys.
Or does he just wait? Does he sit on the sidelines?
Probably he might wait. I'm sure there's other matches that you can make a rematch with Mendez, although they fought twice, I guess. So who else is coming up the featherweight rank? Oh, Pettis, there's a match against him in Pettis. Pettis is going down, right?
Yeah.
So that's probably the next.
Could be. Pettis needs to win at that weight first.
Yeah. You don't think they just throw him right into? Who else is there for?
Pettis is in a bit of a losing. I'd love to see the fight, but he's in a bit of a losing streak. Yeah,
we never saw that coming, right?
Yeah. Oh, not really. So I think, but he's got to win a couple, or at least win one at featherweight and look good before taking that. I'd love to see that fight, but I think he needs that. He needs a win before getting a shot at that interim title, I guess. And what did you think about the Anderson Silva Cormier fight? I mean, we expected it to go that way. I think. I mean, did you expect a more dominant performance?
Well, do you know what Anderson was doing?
What?
He was using the lockdown.
Yeah.
So that's funny. Sometimes you can even get people to tap from the lockdown, right? It's a 100% defensive.
Wait, what's the lockdown?
Where he basically clamped down on Cormier's leg in half guard.
In half guard, clamped down on his leg.
It's basically, he's very hard to move from the top or bottom, but there's almost, it's a purely defensive position.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Okay.
And
where's the pressure being put?
It's just on the leg and on the, like, it's not, I don't, it's not, you're not going to get an MMA guy to tap, and I don't know how much it hurt Cormier, but if you're not super flexible, kind of, it's, you know, straightens your leg out.
Okay, I know. Okay. Having started jiu-jitsu the last few months, I think I know what you mean. I've had that
kind
of happen to me.
It actually brings up a bigger point.
Yeah.
Stalling is only, the top guy only gets hit for stalling, and they only reward the bottom guy. And all Anderson was doing was going for the lockdown. Now it's fine. Yeah. What else was he going to do? I guess he could have tried
open guard,
I suppose so. But there was, it wasn't like he was doing the lockdown transitioning. He was just in lockdown. And whenever Cormier tried to do anything, he would just go back to it. So Anderson was basically just doing lockdown from bottom, hoping for a stand up,
which is the right thing to
but
do.
But it's you shouldn't get a stand up from that. If you're fighting from bottom,
yeah.
If you're fighting from bottom and you're doing legit stuff, and the guy from top is literally just holding you,
yeah.
that warrants a stand up in the sport.
Yeah.
But being from bottom and stalling from bottom, you should be penalized as well.
Whether should you be penalized?
Absolutely. Because if you penalize the top person for stalling, there's yeah. stalling should be in no part in MMA. That's
yeah.
the biggest, the worst aspect of the game is stalling
yeah.
in various positions. And while you can stall from top, you can stall from bottom. In collegiate wrestling, or all wrestling, especially collegiate wrestling, you can get hit with stalling. If you get hit with stalling, it's a point. Like, and in collegiate wrestling, one warning and then a point.
But then what
is,
what does he
dangerous.
Do? What do you do from the bottom then? If you, you know,
there's plenty of other guard positions, right? You have to. That's why you have to be good from guard.
But
or
then,
more importantly, you should have to get up to your feet.
No, I think it's on the guy on the top. It should
no.
be his responsibility to figure out how to get out of it. I don't.
He
initiated the takedown. He initiated the position.
Fair enough, but then you can't reward the bottom guy for doing it. You can't stand.
But you're not rewarding.
By standing him up, you are rewarding the bottom guy.
Yeah, but then you give. Then he's got to take him down again, which
he did. No. That's not right. You can't allow the bottom guy to stall and then reward him and stand him up. That's ridiculous. No, it's 100% ridiculous. You can say, fine, let them be neutral and just let them fight out of it together, but you cannot reward the bottom guy for stalling, right? If he's going to use lockdown position,
it's completely
unfair, and it's completely it completely goes against the sport. You can't reward one. You can't say, all right, the bottom guy is able to stall. Then you could say the same thing about the bottom.
But
you know, the top guy for stalling. Well, it's his fault.
The bottom guy is
up.
The bottom guy's in a defensive position.
No, it doesn't. So why reward the guy in a defensive?
So
in fact, the opposite. You should reward the top guy for being in an offensive position.
Well, but he will be rewarded when you calculate in the judge's eyes, he's been rewarded by getting that takedown, by scoring the takedown. He's been rewarded. Silva's in a defensive position. He's naturally in a defensive position. So you can, yes,
it
does. It makes for a more exciting. It makes for a more exciting fight to work from the bottom and try to get out, work different guards, try to escape, go for submissions.
Get up to your feet. If you're a striker,
but at the end of the day,
you should stand up. You should get to your feet on your own. Fine. If the guy on top is legitimately holding you, that's fine.
Yeah,
but Cormier was not holding. He was he kept trying to advance position. He was striking. Silva was stalling from bottom.
I understand your point, but I think that would be the approach.
You can't.
And you've got the onus is on the offensive fighter. But
the onus is on both fighters. And Cormier was doing his job. He kept trying to advance, and as soon as he would get his leg out, Silva would just go right back into it.
Okay, so then it's on Cormier to not let that happen.
But why reward Silva?
Because it's a sound defensive position.
Fine, but then you can't give him, you can't stand him up for it.
Why not?
Come on. That's just,
I disagree. I think,
no,
again,
you can't. But why would you reward? That doesn't make sense. Why would you reward a guy for being defensive?
Because what's he going to do from that position?
That's not the ref's job. Yes,
he's
by standing him up.
He's
not
being
rewarded. By standing him up, you're rewarding
him. In the eyes of the judges, Cormier has scored his point.
Him,
if he can't
do something
with that position.
But he is doing stuff.
He's not, because he can't get out of it.
No. You're wrong.
No,
period.
No.
You're wrong. And you won't find many people to agree with you. I agree it's fine if you leave them in the position, but you can't stand them up. You can't reward the guy from the bottom guy for stalling. If you want to just leave him fight out of it,
okay, so Mayweather, stop being a defensive fighter and force him to be more aggressive. Like, that's how he fights. He fights defensively.
That's
he waits
fine.
For openings.
That's fine.
So I understand.
But that's fine, but then you can't give him a reward on top of that.
But
you
you're not giving him a reward.
Yes, by standing him up, you are giving him a reward. How do you not see that?
You're putting them back in a neutral position
because nothing
is happening.
But nothing's happening because the bottom guy is stalling.
Because as a defensive fighter, your job is to defend
awful,
yourself and to stop.
If
Cormier
can't
get out of that position,
why can't you say the opposite? If Silva can't get up, why should
fine,
you stand
then
him
the
up?
One, then the one thing I would say is I would agree then you let them fight
let
it
them
out
fight
there.
Out of it. That's
but
that's
we agree
legal.
From an entertainment perspective, that's not that doesn't work.
I think that you have to. I think that you have to punish the bottom fighter for stalling, like you do in college wrestling.
I don't agree.
The way you do it is by taking away points. if a guy is stalling from bottom, you got to start. You can't force him to not. You can't
so,
physically.
Like
have
I said,
him not
I would. I would say either leave them in that position and let them figure it out, or I don't. I don't disagree with the stand up. I think the stand up's fine.
It's not. It's completely unfair. Like
it's
to,
not.
Yeah, it is. It's completely unfair.
It's not. If you're the offensive fighter and you're taking somebody into, you're putting them on the ground, boom, and you can't get out of a position that the defensive guy.
No, he is getting out of it, and the guy keeps
defense.
Putting him back into
so
it.
So if he stops him from advancing,
then that's on the offensive fighter. No, but why would you reward the defensive? Here's the thing.
The other thing here is...
Never reward the defensive guy.
So here's the other thing. We're looking at it superficially. So if we just take a step back, we're not... Yes, it's giving Anderson Silva... It's rewarding him because he's the better stand-up fighter. But realistically,
yes, exactly.
Every MMA fight starts in a neutral position. Two yep. men standing up facing each other.
And
that's how the fight starts.
True.
That's how it starts. We're not talking about their skill sets or anything else. So that is neutral. So
yep.
if they're in a position where someone's stalling, then we put them back in a neutral position where action has
no,
to happen.
Because one guy earned that position, and you're taking away
it, but, okay,
something that
but
he
again,
earned.
But again, what I'm saying is he earns a position and he score and he gets the points in the judge's eyes
but
that position. But if he can't
but
do
then he loses the
but
points.
No, he doesn't.
But it's not
no,
him who can't do it. It's Silva who can't get up. See, that's the whole point. If the top I don't like stand-ups, period.
Okay.
I think that any time where you have the ref interfering, but I understand for an entertainment aspect, you need to have that. But if the top guy or both guys are stalling, but I think if one guy is clearly active, if the top guy is clearly active, which Cormier was,
yeah.
It wasn't like Cormier. Now, look, if Cormier was just laying there, it's fine. But Cormier was striking. He kept the criteria for stand-up is if someone is not trying to advance their position, right?
Yeah.
But Cormier was trying to advance his position. You don't have to advance your position. You have to attempt to advance your position.
Is that the rule?
Yes.
Okay.
You have to try to advance your position, right? Because let's say someone is in guard, full guard, and someone gets the half guard, but then the guy gets him back in full guard, and then he gets the half guard, and he gets full guard. You'll never see a stand-up there because the guy is attempting.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so... I think that I don't know how you punish the bottom guy.
But it's not. He's not being punished or rewarded, because again,
I know theoretically he's not because it's neutral.
Yeah.
But it then think about the precedent it sets for people that have a better skill set standing, that you can just take them down, go to lockdown, and hold for a stand up.
But again,
that
like anything, then people need to evolve their skills to deal with that.
Fair to, but no, it's almost that's not a fair assessment.
It
to
absolutely
say.
Is
no,
a fair
but it's but then it's not fair because then you can say it the other way around.
What?
Why can't it be for the then anyone could just. You know, hold it, you know, could just do that. It's a very defensive position. It's
yeah.
something that there is really, there's slight counters for it, but it just takes a lot of time. It's very slow. It's a defensive position that is relatively simple to do. And yeah, you could try to fight out of it. You can try to do stuff, but someone could just keep going back to that, hoping for a stand up. And yes, someone will learn how to fight out of it, but then they can just go back to it and go back to it and go back to it, trying to get stand ups. Just the concept from any position saying, if you stall, we'll reward you with a stand up, right? Just in general, that sets a bad precedent.
I disagree. I think if you, here's the thing. Silva, it looks bad to the judges that he's doing it. So he's losing already by getting taken down and by stalling.
Yeah,
We'll keep going in circles on this. But I disagree with you.
That's fine. You're allowed to. And that's the point. I think that most people will agree with me on this one.
I don't think so.
Go online and we'll make a post later. Oh, this will be good. We'll report next time what our findings of report are. We're going to make a post. I'm sure there's already been whether or not it even is a reward to stand up the bottom guy. If you think or you think it's just part of the game or part of the scoring, whether it's on the top guy to avoid a defensive position, whether it should be on the bottom guy, whether you should be no stand ups at all. So
I would agree, no stand-ups at all, but it needs to be entertaining. So just think, if you're the aggressor you know, it's on you to continue, especially if you take someone down, especially when that's your strength and that's your bread and butter.
Well, once again, you can't, we can't.
Yeah, you're right.
You can't do it one way.
I made that argument the other way. Fair enough. I made the argument.
All right. So now, but, what about Joanna Janjacek?
Well, she won the night before, right?
Yeah, she's just...
Or two nights before.
You know what I think is my favorite part about her?
What?
I think is that she gets stronger as the fight goes
on.
Like, she's a champion because she turns it on in the fourth and fifth rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she just gets... Like, she knows like it's a close fight, and she just gets better. How many fighters do you know that get better as the fight goes on?
Not many. What, like, I guess Frankie Edgar would be one that comes to mind. Who else?
A few guys. Kane has great cardio, and he can pour it on. But a lot of it is not because he's getting better. It's because the other guys
will. Well, also, talking about it, she even said as much. They knew that she knew that it would be a tough first couple rounds and that she would come on stronger. And that's exactly what she did. I mean,
she basically she's just so technical and she just gets and she just fight. It's just she's we talked about Ronda being a dominant champ, but really.
Yeah, I don't know. No. Yeah, it's, well, I mean, I guess we're at a point now where you never know because we'll say one week, oh, yeah, this person will be champion for a long time. And then.
And I heard an interview with Juliana Pena, who I really like.
Yeah.
I think she's fantastic, and I love her sort of personality and work ethic.
Yeah.
And I think she could be a future champion. She mentioned something. There was an interview with what's his name? Luke something. MMA guy who I really like, and he asked her if the women's division has gotten stronger in that weight. The what weight class is that? Like
115.
No, the 135.
Sorry, 135 is the 135 is the heavier.
What I meant.
Okay, yeah.
What's that called? What division is that?
Is it flyweight or something? I don't know.
No, it's not flyweight. The whatever it's the 135 division that Ronda and Pena and and Nun, what's her name, the champ who just won?
Is it Nunez? No, not Nunez. Why am I like having a brain freeze on her name? But I will tell you in 8 seconds as we both search online to see who can. Nunez.
Yeah,
it is Nunez.
Amanda Nunez. Right. Amanda Nunez. And she was great. There was certainly no surprise. I thought Misha was going to win, but no surprise that Nunez won. She's really tough and really good in every category. I think that that they're going to try. Who's Holly fighting now?
Holly is fighting. It's not Kat. Who is Holly Holm fighting? I'm not as up on the future fights, which she's fighting. Right, you're looking this up now.
Oh, Valentina Shemko.
Okay.
No, she did fight it. Oh, no. Yep, that's she's fighting. Valentina Shevchenko.
Okay.
So, if she wins that, she'll get the fight against she'll get a
rematch. Dana said Rousey gets the rematch if she wants it. I mean, if not the rematch. Wants. She gets the title fight if she wants it.
If she wants it.
If she wants it. We'll see if she's going to come back.
But if she doesn't, right, Holly's going to get... If she wins the fight, we'll get the title shot. But if she doesn't, maybe Pena will get the title fight. I think Pena could beat Nunez. Okay. She's just so tough and gets stronger. I thought she fought awesome against Kat Zingano, who's really tough.
Yeah.
Like, and she's another one who gets better as the fight goes on.
All right, so let's get to the last one more fight. Then we got to close this out. We're running a little over. We've got the Misha Tate fight.
Oh yeah, I mean that's just what we were saying. That I just not surprised. Nunez is great, and Misha is great too. But she just overwhelmed her, and that was it. Not surprised.
All right, and so overall, what do you think of this compared to UFC 100? Since that's the kind of was the benchmark.
I think that the that Jones pulling out took the air out of it.
Yeah. Okay. You did. So you feel. Yeah. And I think it's interesting. You bring Anderson Silva in, and there was no. Yeah. And there was. It was a lot of hype. And even though and Silva did a great thing by coming in, just taking the fight.
And the beginning of the card, if you look at some of those early matches, were
it was great.
Awesome.
Great. Even the undercard was really good.
The undercard was great. Frankie versus Aldo was great.
Yeah. Just didn't have that.
Kane didn't have that luster because it didn't have the strong main event.
Yeah,
and we wanted that. That was the biggest rivals, and it just lacked that. And it was an okay event. I give it a B.
Okay.
The whole event.
I would give it a...
Maybe B plus.
B plus. Should have... If it was just a regular event, it would have been definitely higher. But I think that losing Jones hurt. Now, do you think...
Yeah, took the air out of it.
I mean, what do you think about that whole situation? Do you think he...
We've been saying it for years. The only one who can beat Jones is Jones.
Is Jones. Yeah.
I don't think Cormier can beat him.
No, I didn't. I don't think so either. I think
maybe he could. I mean, Cormier is so good that he could beat anyone. But yeah. I think that.
But Jones is
Jones
so
is
good.
Jones.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, it's like I mean, now he might be out for 2 years. Do you think he was really? Do you believe him? Do you think he was on steroids, or just are you at a point where you don't know what to believe about any of this?
Once again, Cormier was asked, "What do you think about Jones?" Because oftentimes it takes a rival to make someone great. Mm-hmm. You know, Bird. Johnson, Magic mm-hmm. Johnson. What are some other great rivals in sports that you can think of?
Yankees, Red Sox.
Yankees, Red Sox, of course. Yeah. That just, you need, you know, you need rivals, Manning, Brady.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just need that. And these were the two rivals. This was what partially makes the sport, so popular.
Yeah.
And they asked, well, Cormier, what do you think of Jones? Who is Jones to you? And Cormier said, Jones is an incredible fighter and he's incredible at athletics, but he in life, he is just misguided.
Yeah.
And he's doesn't, you know, not certain of where to go.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
And they asked, well, would you fight with Jones again? And he said, the whole situation with Jones is so emotionally draining for him that he needs some time off to sort of get his head elsewhere before dealing with another rematch. And I'm sure he would fight Jones again. Of course, he wants to avenge his loss. But he said that it was so emotionally taxing for him that he needs some space, which makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. Absolutely. I would agree.
And it's really true about Jones. Like, could be one of the all-time greats, if not the greatest of all time. And I think that they should retroactively take away his loss if you know, with certain things in the future, if they ever change the rule.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just sort of sad that he is just he needs a comeback. He needs better guidance in life.
Yeah. I agree. Well said. All right, well, I guess that's it for this episode of The Cheat Meal.
Good stuff.
Hopefully you enjoyed it. And yeah, if you leave us some feedback, if you think I'm right or Justin's right, let us know what you guys think. Awesome. As usual, you can catch all of our stuff, find all of our stuff on at thegymwits.com. Our social media, contact info, all that stuff is there. All right, so I'm Ryan George.
Awesome. I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are The Gymwits.